Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined, as always, by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Fantastic, Mr. Metcalf. A little early this week because, you know, we're recording on a Wednesday. Full disclaimer to everyone. Yeah, I mean, the NFL drafts tomorrow. Me and Metcalf got things to do. No, have we just were anxious wanting to talk hoops. So I'm doing great. How about yourself, sir?
Fantastic. Weather is gorgeous. Walking the dog. Paige has got me posting on TikTok now. I feel cool and hip and all that kind of stuff. I'm so washed.
The streets have been talking and they want more Wrigley footage. For everyone that hasn't seen it, Metcalf did a little NBA playoff breakdown while on a walk, and Wrigley, his dog, stole the show. So I need more Wrigley content.
She's easily the hook, and then, you know, I hook you with the cute dog and then spew some NBA thoughts at you. Gonna try and keep doing more of those over on TikTok and Instagram and all that good stuff. But just fun, just talking hoops.
I have to say that I'm proud of you because you sent me a text during game two of T-Wolves Lakers about how annoyed you were with like the Lakers whistle and complaining. And I was like, you've reached the next level of fandom when you start complaining about the Lakers and LeBron and Luka getting favorable. I saw some Thunder fans doing that in a regular season game against the Lakers. I was like, when you start complaining against the Lakers, yes, you've reached another level of fandom. So I'm proud of you.
I try and keep my referee complaints private because, you know, no one likes to complain about refs, but man, just top to bottom, that game was brutal. It'd be a shame if that crew, you know, was done for the playoffs, but you know what? Who am I to say?
I haven't gotten to my sicko status where I start, like, during the playoffs, I will start, like, checking who the refs are in the morning. Oh, it's like I will wake up and immediately be like, who's the refs? And, yeah, I haven't gotten there yet, but it definitely will happen. You start keeping note when you have a bad ref game. You're like, who was the crew? I'm going to remember this. Playoffs have been awesome so far. I'm very, very excited to see that series is going to be a bar fight. Yeah. And then the Clippers Nuggets series.
That one rocks.
That one's incredible. So yeah, it's been fun.
And I'm excited for the Rockets Warriors. I still think Rockets are coming back in that one. Someone needs to make a jump shot. So, all right, we got a jam packed show. Fun one today. Doing a little rankings help and kind of just general rankings talk. Focusing on some guys that we're struggling with and we need help from the other person with, and then some guys where we don't really care what consensus says about them or what the red flags may be. We're all in. We're in love and we don't care who knows it. And then we're going to wrap up with a starting five draft based on our rankings where we can only select one person from our individual rankings from each kind of group of 1 through 10, 11 through 20, 21 through 30, 31 through 40, and then, you know, so on and so forth. It'll be pretty straightforward. You'll get the gist of it when we get there. Rucker, let's just start out right off the bat. Help me help you. There are always guys that we kind of struggle with, but
help me help you.
Just help me help you.
Help me help you.
I'm so proud of you for the sound bites. It's fantastic. Who you got? Hit me with the starter.
You first.
Give me first? Okay. I have to do it. Whatever. I have to do it. Metcalf, I need help with mouthwash. I said before we hit record,
I'm not doing them.
I said before we hit record that I wasn't going to do it. I need help. So help me help you. I want to buy in, folks. I want to buy in, but everything in my bones and my eyes are telling me like I've done this song and dance before and been hurt. So help me.
I'm a little higher on him than you. I'm not quite as high as some others on the crew. I've had the thought of, ooh, what if he's Hasheem Thabeet? And that was a tough night. But then you just kind of look at the rim protection and the numbers, the rebounding numbers, and I know how the tape goes with a lot of that stuff and how they don't always align. But at the end of the day, he is a freakishly massive human being who generally moves his feet pretty well in space. If he can kind of keep it to one side, there's some offensive upside flashes, intrigue there as well. And in a class that is really devoid of legitimate centers, of legitimate size, of legitimate rim protectors, he's easily the standout. I love Colin Murray-Boyles' rim protection numbers, but he's going to measure like 6'5", 6'6", barefoot. You really want that guy playing full-time center? I like a lot of what Derek Queen brings to the table. I still don't trust him on defense. I'm intrigued by Thomas Sorber, but they kind of hit him a lot on defense, and the raw numbers are there, but put up against NBA offenses and schemes, is there enough consistency there for him to survive? I don't know. So when we keep looking at the center class, do I think Maluach has insane upside and could be an all-NBA type of center? Probably not. Do I absolutely adore him? Would I be over the moon about my team drafting him? Probably not. But the baseline at that size with his mobility, with only being playing basketball for, what, 4 or 5 years? Really new to the game still. Really raw, really moldable. All the intel with him from a personal standpoint has been really positive, at least what I've heard. That's worthy of a bet, especially in this kind of in this modern era where you need that size, you have to have that rim protection. I worry about the rebounding, I get the concerns, but at a minimum, I think you're getting a backup center who can hold his own and provide your rotation with a freakish amount of size and athleticism.
Yeah. It's the intel guy. You know, there's always guys that with my evaluation, I'm like, okay, now I need to do some digging. I need to ask around to see if someone can help me paint a clearer picture. It's funny you brought up the beat because it's just been sticking in my head forever. I'm like, is this going to be the beat? And for everyone that remembers, like, the beat was the top three pick. But he played 3 years in college. But his freshman year, he averaged 6 and 6 with almost 4 blocks in 24 minutes. Maluach this year was 8 and 6 in 21 minutes with 1.3 blocks. So you could kind of say, hey, just the defensive stuff didn't pop as much as the beat. I also forget that the beat was... You muted yourself. So go ahead. Yeah, classic. We're on fire. Move.
I think they're very different players. Yes. In terms of what they showed in college. I'm just more so talking about that. Like, oh my God, look at this 7-footer. Let's take him early and just total flame out. It wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't shock me because every NBA team, NBA front offices drool over size. He's going to get in a private workout and front offices are going to be like, oh my gosh. And then he's going to step out and hit a couple threes against the chair. And everyone's like, whoa, look at the tools, the size. It happens every year. No matter what way the game is translating or if it's becoming like, hey, it's, you know, we're going small ball. It's like, well, still the 7'2", 250 guy that shoots a three is going to get teams excited.
Yep.
Because it's an advantage. So like even me being lower on Maluach, I still think he's going to go top 10. Like, I think he's going to be that. It's just my personal evaluation. And the only time I ever get a headache is like, hey, you're going to take this top 5. Like everything you just told me, I'm like, I'm intrigued. I get it. Yes. But like, there's a lot of questions for taking top 5. If I don't think the upside is, you know, franchise center building block. So that's why I've just kind of been like, hey, I would love him mid to late lottery. If I got him late lottery, I'd be pumped. You're not gonna.
Yeah.
Not gonna happen. But if I got him, you know, right inside that top 10, I get taking a swing there. It's just top 5 in this class is just bold for me. But I get it. There's some intrigue. I just, you know, when I'm evaluating bigs, me and you talk about it all the time, like feet and hands, there's instances of good feet. There's instances where his feet look really heavy. The hands scare me sometimes. Like, and not just, you know, him being a lob threat is not just having good hands. Like, him catching a pass to dunk it. Like, it's other times. So I think there's rawness. It's just one of those guys I'm going to be probably starting from scratch and grinding until the month of the draft. And then I'll finally be like, all right, enough's enough. I'm putting my foot down. And, you know, I've moved him. I had him late teens. I've moved him back up. I got him right outside my lottery. And every time I look at it, I'm like, I'm being too harsh. This is an overthinking guy for me.
I've been there. I was there with Khalil Ware last year. And they're very different players. I'm just pointing towards the size and the athleticism and overthinking some of the red flags and underthinking how much that size and athleticism improves the room for error and improves how they're able to thrive in more simplified roles. I don't like him top five either. That's too rich for me. I like him top 10 though. Still, I think he's really worthy of taking that swing on, especially when we look at team context. Like if Charlotte is currently at three, if they drop in the lottery, you know, five spots or so, or four spots, I think that's a really fun fit for him and for them. Brooklyn, I get. Toronto, I get. Even Houston, currently slated at nine with that Phoenix pick. I think that's really interesting, given how they've used Steven Adams and how Şengün, who has improved a lot defensively, there's still some concerns there. But with those perimeter defenders and athletes, you're able to insulate him a little more in that really deep drop coverage and let those guys chase over screens and funnel everything to him and not ask him to do too much. So I think there are a lot of contexts that are really exciting and positive for both parties. I think there are a lot where it could go really wrong really quickly, though, too.
Yeah, I think all those teams you listed make a lot of sense. You know, it's the one guy, it's just funny because I keep asking around the league and I'm waiting for someone to just be like, oh, I'm in love. And every time I ask around, I'm like, I get the same, like, he's not for me, but I'll have him on my lottery. And I'm like, what? Come on, someone do something. And, you know, we got a lot of time and I got a lot of people to ask. So the only thing I've asked tiny bit intel wise, and I just hear he's a great kid, which is exactly what you want to hear. Cause then you start getting, okay, now I'm a little more intrigued. And this is our favorite time of the year because one, you're catching up on film. Two, you're getting the dirt, you're getting the intel and you're starting to finalize everything. So I said I wasn't going to talk about, you did help me there. So thank you. I appreciate it. Who you got?
Before I give you mine, let's go to our first quick break.
Nice.
First one for me is a little lower on boards, more of a fringe first, early second round guy. Adoo Thiero.
Ooh, good one. Okay.
I picked him specifically because I know you were excited about him the other day. I get it. But at the same time, I really, really don't get it.
What don't you get?
He can't shoot.
Right.
Super chaotic.
Right.
Low feel, questionable passing at best. Foul issues in the NBA. Not super disciplined as a defender. Some really fun stuff on both ends. The highs are really, really fun. But the lows are rough. And the middle stuff is incredibly unreliable, at least in my eyes.
Can I get a little crazy for a bit? I haven't let loose for a while. So this is Adoo Thiero, Rashear Fleming, Yoxel, guys like that. If I was a team with multiple picks, I would do everything to get one of them. And the reason why is if you have multiple picks, you're most likely rebuilding. So you're going to add a bunch of young guys that are, you know, going to be walking with a little extra pep in their step. They just made the league, blah, blah, blah. I think you need guys like that to shift your culture because they just give a shit and they're going to always bring it. Now, with Thiero, if I'm taking him early-ish and he's my only pick, it's probably a little bold. But if I'm someone, you know, like Washington, say they get a top two pick and then they're like, you know what? We're going to get someone that's just going to bring it every night and going to be a madman on the court and it's going to be tough. Let's get a dude the arrow at, you know, later in the first. Or Brooklyn with one of their 47 picks in this draft. Maybe they add a dude the arrow with one of those last picks. I just think he's one of those garbage men that like high relentless motor. And it's funny catching up on his tape. I thought he was bouncy and watching his tape. I was like, oh
yeah,
a dude added 8 inches on his vert. Like it was just like, he's freak of nature. So he does a lot of those plays where everyone's just standing around coasting and Adut Thiero flies out of nowhere, offensive rebound, like he does a lot of shit no one wants to do. Mm-hmm. And I think those guys are so important for not only a young roster, but for like a playoff team to be like, we got a bunch of vets, but now we're going to inject a 6'7" psycho on the wings to just kind of understand that like, hey, I'm not going to be, if you understand your role, I will fall in love with those guys. Like, mm-hmm. That's why I love Rashear Fleming. He knows his role. He knows what he does on the court. He doesn't try to be something he's not. I think Adu is just one of those guys that he knows he's going to beat people with hustle and strength and power. The shot does need work. I think it's trending in the right direction. But you, I mean,
confidently.
It's just like, I liked him at Kentucky because I, for the same reasons, I think he's taken that next step in his development. I feel like these guys are just also the ones that like, if they figure out how to like where to specialize at the next level, like if a dude's like, I'm going to be a nasty defensive guy. Now, you know, we could pick his game apart, but like figure out how to stay in the league. And if a dude with the arrow figures out his, you know, strength, his positive impact on the court, I think this is a guy where like, man, he played 10 plus years, you know? So I get the struggle because me and you see like, oh man, good size, but he can't shoot. I don't know. Mike keeps cutting in and out. That's fun. So yeah.
Cut out again.
Great. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to throw my mic out the door.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And for what it's worth, I still have him top 40. So it's not, I'm not out on him or I don't see it at all. I'm just, he's one of those guys where I'm struggling to figure out what the context for him thriving is, for him really making a dent in a rotation, for him really carving out minutes for multiple years and not just bouncing around on minimums or two ways or stuff like that, because that type of athleticism and physicality and defensive upside is enough for a lot of teams to at least bring him in and
right.
Put him on the bench. What I'm trying, really struggling with is how do you get to that next level? And I hate that it, for so many of these guys, it's, well, can he shoot? No? Okay, see ya. Have fun in Europe. Or yeah, he's knocking down 40% of his corner threes and 33% above the break. Good enough. Low volume, high defense, transition scoring. That's fine for an eighth guy. And I'm just still not sold that he can get to that shooting threshold or that there's that playmaking, not as a primary guy, but as a occasional driving kick, you know, hit ahead in transition, that high processing speed that we see from guys like a Nick Clifford, where the passing vision and awareness and decision-making is there. And Thiero, maybe his role, maybe it's just context, but it seems like his decision is get ball, go to rim. And that's it.
Which is, it might be.
It was effective a lot this year, and that's okay. But that becomes a lot less effective in the NBA, especially if that's your only tool. So I'm intrigued with him. He's giving me headaches. I just really struggle with, can that shot just get to somewhat respectable where it draws even a short closeout or makes the defender rise up momentarily out of his stance so he can then blow past them? And is the defense consistent enough where he is getting those, you know, 10 to 15 minutes as that dirty work defender? Because if the discipline really comes along, the defensive playmaking, the physicality, the athleticism is incredibly fun. He is one of the most fun players in this draft. I'm just struggling with how reliable is it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me?
Yeah, barely.
What is going on with the mic? Hello now. So, roll here, folks.
I generally think there that type of athleticism and NBA ready strength tends to give guys a head start. So I think from a minimum, it's a really good, strong starting spot for him to go off of. And if he gets with a shooting coach and that at least corner three improves and he ends up having a PJ Tucker-esque career, I don't think that's out of the question at any point. I'm just trying to figure out the feasibility of it.
I think I have like my one mic that like is actually dying connected. So I have another one. So we're going to try to just run with this as much as possible. Yeah, your questions are all warranted. He's going to be hilarious because he's going to get drafted and say he goes 35th or something. And yeah, a fan base is going to see his highlights on ESPN and be like, what the heck? We just got a steal. Because it's so electric. Adu thrives in – he has to go to a team that he can be an off-ball guy. Mm-hmm. He has to thrive because he's great in transition. He's an 81st percentile. Shout out Synergy. Cutter, he's 97th. Offensive rebounds, 84th. And then just garbage miscellaneous plays, he's 81st. So he's just one of those guys like, hey, he finds a way to clean up the mess, but there's still a lot of stuff to develop with his game and craft a little bit. You know, he's a junior, but he's only going to be, I think, 21 on draft day. So like, he's still a little bit young and I don't know. I he's just so overpowering and plays so damn hard. That's why I think a team will just be like, screw it. Yeah. Let's get in. Let's get a do as Adam to the rotation and he go muck things up for a little bit while we kind of untap some of his game. But yeah, the shot definitely needs to come around. Maybe he's a guy that you stick in the G League and just be like, oh, work on, just get some shots up. Like, let's make you a you know, versatile piece. Because there is a path where he can stick around for a long time. Like you said, PJ Tucker or something like that. We've seen guys, you know, figure it out. And he's always going to be, I mean, that bounce is serious.
Yeah.
He probably will be one of the top, like, athletic testers.
Yeah,
at the combine, God, yeah. I imagine. Like, people are going to be shocked when that, hey, he is just, and maybe it's an in-game thing, but he has some times where he takes off. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's so much fun.
Yeah, and you mentioned early second round, within the top five picks of that second round, Charlotte has two of them, Philly has another. I really like him in both those situations where he can provide some athleticism, strength, and size on the perimeter in that point of attack defense. And then play exclusively off ball as a play finisher. So I do think there are some fun fits in that range. So
Philly would be a good one. That'd be really nice for them. Just need a madman off the bench and they have plenty of bucket getters if they can stay healthy. But yeah, I like that. Okay. Am I doing one more or what?
Let's move on to the positive. Because, you know,
I'm in love, I don't care who knows it.
So, Rucker, who are you in love with and you just don't care?
The Clifford.
Oh, he was on my list too.
Okay, fine. I don't care. I'm in love and I don't care who knows it. Now, everyone's gonna be like, oh, I like Nick Clifford. No, you don't. I love him. I got him at 12, and I ain't moving. If anything, we're going up. Easiest evaluation this year. Easier than Cooper Flags. No, I'm just kidding. It's so damn fun to watch Neek from last year. And also, shout out to everyone that apparently had Neek Clifford really high all year. I've seen a lot of those posts. Liars. We don't lie to our fans. I love Neek. I have been, you know, we liked him last year. We had him mocked in the first. People were like, whoa, what is this? Neek Clifford, who is this? And we're like, all right, just wait.
It's a stud.
So I think, you know, here's my thing with Neek, why I love him so much is I think last year, if you go back and watch his film last year, he's nasty defensively. Mm-hmm. This year, they were like, we need you offensively. He's like, bet, ball up top. And man, that dude can just play. He just checks so many boxes. So You know, I would he be? Oh gosh, dang it! Who? I think this was. Hold on, I'm gonna find a tweet. Go ahead, Metcalf. Give me your thoughts. But I wanted to give someone a shout out. Oh, Nate Babcock. Shout out, Nate. Had a good little tweet. He said, outside of Cooper Flagg, which prospect has the greatest chance to have a significant positive impact? Not just like being the primary guy, but like who could come in and impact right away. And Neek was just ringing in my head.
Yeah.
Because I was like, one, he's probably going to go to a team that's a little bit lower. And he's just, the dude just knows how, like, what do you need from me? All right, let's go. Like, and that's what I love about it. I think he's going to shock people defensively early on.
And he's always been an awesome defender, and that's always been his calling card. The positional rebounding is insane. He's one of the best rebounders in the country, especially at his size. And he's a big dude. I meant more so as a wing, one of the best rebounders in the country. And then the offense just improved every single year. He's a little streaky as a shooter still, mm-hmm. but when he's moved entirely off ball as just that tertiary offensive option, whenever he's on the floor, I think he'll be fine when he's not asked to, create for himself or for others as consistently. I think the efficiency and consistency is going to improve. Even if he continues to be a streaky shooter month by month throughout his career, I'd be shocked if he's a below average outside shooter. And then you factor in the rim pressure and the passing and the feel and the decision-making and the offensive versatility in terms of responsibility and what he can do. The list is really small in terms of what he can't do. And that is exactly what you want from a plug-and-play off-ball wing in the NBA. High-level defender, incredibly smart, versatile, malleable, and really effective on the offensive end.
He's listed at 6'6", 200. I think his frame, if he adds like 10 pounds, is just going to be a problem to deal with, because he's already got that cut up like good build, yeah. And he doesn't need much to go, but he's also got vertical pop that really jumps out. Like he can throw down posters on people. He gets downhill with bad intentions. Also, like, his playmaking is awesome. Yeah, you know, he's really 95th percentile as a pick and roll ball handler. Like, he's good in transition. He's just a smart player out there. So like, fuck man, I'd take him early. I'd take him lottery. I'd sleep like a baby if I was a team. I think a smart team should do it. I know this is an older guy, a senior, but like, what, we're going to punish him because he just stayed in school, got better? The guy started at Colorado, transferred to Colorado State. Like, I think he's one of the safest guys in this class.
Yeah. And I mean, we see older guys come in and have really good careers and continue to get better all the time. Look at Aaron Wiggins with OKC.
Yes.
Look at Nembhard with Indiana. Jaime Jaquez this year was a little bit of a struggle, but who wasn't it for on that Heat team? We see this all the time with guys continuing to get better. I don't necessarily think he's done in terms of development or that he's peaked already in terms of his skill set. When we look at his sophomore year growth to his junior year and junior year to his senior year, he improved massively in really important areas that not only mattered for his impact that year to the team, but to his long-term development and what he'll be asked to do at the NBA level. Last year is like, is he a consistent enough shooter? Can he create for himself? Can he create for others? The passing comes and goes. And this year, incredible passer, incredible playmaker. We saw it at the end of the tournament when they beat Virginia last year in his junior year. And like, God, please come out. Like, I would take him at the end of the first round. If I was an NBA team, I would have been begging him to stay in so I could grab him at the end of the first round. Mm-hmm. Now he's showing all of that. Is he going to be an on-ball creator? No. Is he going to be a really high usage guy? Probably not, but you don't need him to be because he does all the little things that complement your stars and your primary scorers and your rim protectors, because he makes their life easier because he's doing all the shit they don't want to do.
And I think the big part is like, you know, we were like, why? It was the most frustrating thing last cycle was I was like, why is Neek Clifford not getting more buzz? I was like, and then I would ask you the whole No Ceilings team. I was like, am I crazy? Am I just like, this is a guy I like that you guys, and everyone was like, no, like I don't get it. And we'd ask around and teams would be like, oh, I like him. And it was almost like teams liked him but didn't want to talk about him because they're trying to keep it. So I was like, someone go promise this guy, just steal him. So some people might be like listening and be like, well, if he was so good last year, why didn't he come? They're not idiots. When they're like, hey, I'm not getting buzz, I'm going back. Like, I'm going to make more money going back to school now with the NIL. And I think, you know, we just saw Dylan Jones do the same thing. He was going to be a late second rounder after an unbelievable pre-draft process. He's like, I'm going to go back. Ends up in the first round. Nate Clifford did the same thing, took a page out of that, and he's going to be a first rounder pick so this year. So I think it was you got to see more versatility from Neek this year, I think, offensively. Mm-hmm. Last year, I thought his playmaking was really good. This year, it's just another level. And the shot does come and go, but like, man, some of my favorite film I've evaluated this year. Like, I told you all year, I joked with you. I was like, I don't want to watch Neek because I know I'm going to fall in love. And then I finally got to him. I was like, oh, this was fantastic. A complete gamer. All right. Hit me with yours.
Right after our last break. I'm going with an older guy as well. I promise this isn't just a homer pick. Danny Wolf. I finished his film. I got a video coming on him soon. He's incredible. I get the turnover issues. I get the lack of rim protection. I get the shooting inconsistencies. I don't care. He is so damn fun. I think he's the most unique player in this class. You look at what Naz Reid has done on the Timberwolves, and I think that it wouldn't shock me if Danny Wolf has a similar career. He's not quite as explosive as Naz, but a lot of the defensive concerns are really similar. The ball handling, the scoring versatility, the passing. And Wolf is a better passer and playmaker, but that combination of skill and size is really similar. I absolutely love Danny Wolf.
I was wanting the film to be good, and it was much more thrilling than I was expecting. So I can't really argue with you, because him, Neek, obviously Cooper, those are probably three of my favorite films so far. Knipples is pretty damn good too, but. Yeah, Danny Wolf just does some stuff on the basketball court. You're like, this doesn't happen often. You don't see this often. So that's why he's probably a top three storyline on draft night, because you could take him anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I really do feel that way, because if you're a team, I just imagine a front office sitting there and being like, but what if Danny Wolf is added to the picture? Like, what if we add Danny Wolf's skill set to this? Like, you know, we had a mock draft go up on those ceilings. That one got a little fun, a little crazy for everyone. Thanks. We got some comments today, and it was wild in the war room. But, you know, we got to 14. And was it you that nominated Danny Wolf?
No, because I did it on the pod last week.
Oh, yeah, you did it on the pod.
Spurs fans fled to the chat. They're like, you idiot. Like,
someone nominated him. We all started laughing. It might have been Maxwell or something, but we were like, oh, my gosh. And you just keep sitting there thinking about it, and you're like, Danny Wolf and Victor would be great. Like, Danny would be fantastic with his playmaking to get into Victor. Like, so I understand the questions, but then you also like, hey, what about defensively? He's like, well, if you have an alien behind him, it might help. There's just a lot of places it makes sense. And, you know, I think he had a lot of freedom at Michigan. I don't know if you know, like, he's not going to be able to dribble the air out of the ball like that, but also.
Well, he had
like,
to play point guard.
Exactly.
Over a quarter of his possessions was as the pick and roll ball handler.
Yeah.
At Yale last year, he ran three.
I get it, Metcalf. Like, you could, that's what I'm saying. You could talk me anywhere. You know, we joked that we're like, what about Portland with Klingon? And then you're like, whew. And then you just get down the list and OKC, a shocker. Like, Minnesota, like, just a ton of teams where you're like, this could get interesting in a hurry. So, He does some stuff dribbling that I'm like, this makes no sense how fluid he looks. He looks like a point guard with how like tight his handle gets sometimes. I get the turnovers, but I also think
he ran 27% of his possessions as a pick and roll ball handler as a center. I don't care about the turnovers. He's not doing that in the NBA. It's going to get the vast majority of those are going to get cleaned up simply from a shift in usage.
Well, it's just also like you have to take the good with the bad. Like, he's an unbelievable playmaker and sensational vision. sometimes he's going to throw something that's a little wild because, you know, he's just adjusting. And so it's like, hey, you want to let them run wild. And obviously if he's getting up to like four turnovers a game, you're like, okay, Danny, let's calm down a little bit. But I think a simplified role could even make him more dangerous at the next level. Like, you know, you're still going to feed him and let him run the offense, but like, imagine the sets you can run at an NBA level with him and 3-point shooters all over the place. Like, some coach is going to watch him and be like, what the? You know, he'll be funny in workouts.
Yeah.
Some team's going to look like, have him watch film on him and be like, what the hell? It's big, just splashing threes and dribbling the ball like this. So, I like that. That's a good one. Where do you have him?
15.
That's a good number. I have him like 20-21, and I'm like, I hate it. I just don't like it at all. So
no, I had him down there the other week too, and I finished the dive on him. I'm over the moon. I can't help myself. The defensive concerns are real. But I do think he generally moves his feet well.
Yeah.
I think he defends well in a team context. He can't protect the rim really at all outside of being a help guy occasionally. And that's a big issue. That's a real problem. And it's probably going to limit what he can actually do as a center in the league. I think he's a very legitimate four. But also when you look at his body and his mobility at Yale, where it was good, it improved tremendously at Michigan. So if he continues to pivot and continues that body transformation, like Naz Reid did, go back and watch that Naz Reid LSU film.
Oh my gosh.
My guy got in shape. I think if he continues down that road, I think the footwork and the perimeter stuff gets a little better. I'm not saying he's ever going to be a big time plus defender, but I think enough of it is fine enough that it won't drown out the offensive fun.
Completely agree. I think that's a good one. I mean, yeah, Danny's going to be fascinating. Probably one of my top guys on my list that I'm like, I'm going to dig around because it's going to be the eye of the beholder. But mm-hmm. I'm convinced some coach is going to be like knocking down a GM's door. Like, I need this guy. This guy could get us going crazy. And like, okay, see, I dare them not to take him. You get crazy with those rotations and lineups. If you have, you know, if you've got Hartenstein in him or you got Chet in him, like with that defense too. Like, it's going to happen. I'm terrified of it, but it's going to happen because he's just such a fun joker in the deck for your team offensively. So
I don't know. It's a look that very few teams have where you can throw out a 7-foot wing guard center, small ball center, run inverted pick and rolls with him as the ball handler. You even just think about him on or just stylistically with players like Steph who are really high level shooters who are willing screeners who move off ball like that. There are just a lot of really fun, unique, creative things that you could do with him within the offensive flow of a team. So I get the red flags. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, you just can get drunk thinking about how much fun it would be to have that wrinkle in your team. Like, you know, we just said Steph, but like we have SGA and J-Dub running off of handoffs and then all of a sudden Danny's driving and kicking it to Chet or, you know, all those guys. Like, it's just a fun wrinkle. You do that with a lot of teams. You just quickly like, oh, Danny Wolf would fit fantastic here. So I'm really interested, you know, to kind of see like what happens for him in the next couple months.
Let's move on. Let's do a quick little draft. I know we did a mock draft last week, but in the spirit of us putting up a new mock draft this week, we've done this in the past, but we're just going to use our own individual rankings and draft a starting five from each range of our big board. So we can only take one guy in our rankings from 1 to 10, one guy from 11 to 20, one from 21 to 30, one from 31 to 40, so on and so forth. And once one of us takes a player, the other can't. And we're just trying to construct a starting five that is both fun, good, interesting, and also makes a little bit of sense.
We've done this. No, we've done this in the past, and I think it's like an actual like really really fun exercise. So like when you brought up doing this, I was like, oh, I forgot we did this. This is really fun. So yeah, the ranges makes it a little harder because you're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be easy, and then you get a little deeper down, and you're like, oh, actually, I should have taken a different position early. So, and I always feel like I miscalculate. Like I take someone I'm too excited that's still on the board, and then I'm like, oh, now I don't have anyone I could take here. So yeah, this is gonna be fun. I'm gonna be nice. You get the first pick.
Nope, you go. Okay.
All right,
I'll let you take best player.
Okay, well, I'll take Cooper Flagg.
All right,
pretty quick. Shocker that he declared, huh?
Yeah, but the NIL money Duke could give him. Oh my god,
just shocker, just complete shocker.
Every year, it's clockwork. Every like, year. Oh, well, what if this guy? What if he really loves the college experience? You know what else he loves? Being a fucking NBA superstar and being the number one pick.
I have to give a shout out to Nathan. Nathan's been kind of in our group chat about the whole portal thing, about how it's just a disaster. And I was kind of like, eh, I get it, though. And I'm on Nathan's side now. It's a disaster. Yeah, it's can't keep worst. Track of it.
I hate it.
I also feel like the deadlines don't exist. I just can't track every. You know what's funny is like I don't even want to track like update my database for next year because I'm just like I'll do it at the end of the summer because I can't track everyone right now. Like I'm looking at names, I'm like eight of these guys just changed schools, so it's just amazing. Go ahead, Mecca. Yeah.
I'm just gonna get that lead ball handler, lead creator. I'm gonna keep it simple, not overthink it. I'm going Dylan Harper.
That's a good one. I just absolutely still adore him.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
It's tough not to. He's probably going to be the number two and absolutely no later than three.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's you should be taking him two no matter what. Okay, so now we're going 6 to 10?
No, 11 to 20.
Oh, 11 to 20.
Oh, yeah. We're getting.
Oh, we're getting into.
We're going to go into deeps. The deep cuts.
Oh, yeah, gosh. This gross. Is going to get nasty. My 11 to 20. Okay. Screw it. That 12th on my board, Neat Clifford.
Okay, there we go.
Yes, I did pause and look at Mellowatch. I promise, guys. You took Dylan first. Okay. Is Dylan your one? Yes.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah. I was kind of debating getting cute in that, you know, 1 to 10 range and going like maybe Ace Bailey or maybe Malawach, maybe VJ, and then try and snag Yegor here. I probably could have, but I feel like Dylan's too good.
Heard some good intel about Yegor, folks.
Yeah, it's been fun.
He's shooting the crap out of it, apparently.
All right. 11 to 20. Oh boy.
Cause everyone's going to listen to this and be like, this isn't hard. And then you, oh yeah. When you get to the 40s, let me know how that works. Yeah, well, out when you're looking for your starter.
So I don't overload or just like completely miss 100%. Out on a position.
I took Neek and I took my two picks with my heart. Now I'm like, oh, this can get ugly.
I'm trying to win. I'm going Rashear Fleming.
It's a good pick. Heard good intel there too.
All right, 21 to 30.
Wow. Okay.
Let's say where we have these guys too. So I have Fleming at 19 currently.
I have Fleming at 18. So we're right there. 21 to 30?
Yeah.
I'm going to go... just to piss you off, I'm going to actually play him at the five. I'm going to take Danny Wolf. He's 21st on my board.
Alrighty.
That one, I think I'm thinking with my, I might regret that because it might get ugly. I was debating a couple names there. I'll wait till you go, but I guess.
Okay. So we're doing this to like win a game, right?
Yeah, I guess. My team's just going to score. Cooper and Neek will carry the load defensively, but Danny's just gonna make life easy for everyone.
Oh, this is gross.
Danny might have like an end of the game, like FU3 to put the nail in the coffin.
I'm going to go Will Riley, who I have at 25.
I almost just took him. I have him at 26. Man, Metcalf, I almost just did the help me help you, but I was going to be positive about it because I just caught up on his tape. And man, it's just
the good is really good.
So good.
It's really, really good. And it's not just shooting. It's a lot more.
It's like, man.
Like there's some really fun off-ball creator stuff there. The strength is an issue. He can't get around a screen to save his life, but the work rate and activity level on both ends is really, really good.
I Brooklyn fans should jump all over that. I would be absolutely taking him with one of those picks.
All right, 31 to 40.
Wait, who's your third? Or you've only taken two?
No, I took three. I went Harper, Fleming, Riley.
Fleming. Okay. All right. So what are we for? 31 to 40. 31 to 40. Ew. See, this is it. I already see a name I should have taken. Oh, I should see two names. Son of a gun. If I take this guy, we're not playing any defense. Screw it. We're having fun. 32nd on my board. I'm going to take Tahad Pettiford.
Oh, okay. He's 31 on mine.
Goodness, it's creepy, our board sometimes. We're always like one spot off. It's like we do a pod together. I kind of looked and said I wanted to take Kalkbrenner there, and then I was like, shit, I can't do it. Then I saw another big that I want. I like Reynaud a lot, and I was like, oh, I can't take him either. I don't want to play Cooper at the three. That would have been weird.
My board gets really ugly in this range, and I kind of hate it. Okay. Do I go big? I think I wait on big. Continue to go shooting, probably a little
wait
more.
On big? My goodness. Yeah. Who else are you gonna have?
Yeah, don't worry.
Oh.
I'm gonna go Walter Clayton.
That's a good pick. Wow, where do you have him?
35.
Okay, I've come at 28.
With good shooter can help. Take some of that offensive creation responsibility from Dylan.
I like it.
All right. 41 to 50, and then we'll do a six man too from real deep cuts. We'll get gross.
So you got a nice little team coming up. Walter Clayton at two is nice. I'm sorry, what is this range?
41 to 50.
You cut out.
41 to 50.
Okay, did we not? Oh, we didn't do that. 41 to 50. Ew.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I'm not going to cheat and put Neek at the three. You know what? Screw it. I'll. No, that's cheating because he's not a three. I don't have any threes here. Can I take a sixth man here?
Going to take six guys. And
okay. I'm going to take my sixth man. I'm really pumped about this pick. I'm going to take Elijah Martin.
Oh.
Who I've got at 49. I'm going to get me some mentality off the bench. If Tahad's not cutting it, I'm going to say, Elijah, go run rain. Elijah Martin and Neek Clifford sounds like a really fun duo.
Elijah Martin rocks. I have him at 56, too low, but
I'm at 49, too low.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at big here. I'm thinking a little floor spacing and ball skills with Maxime Reynaud. A little.
You have him that low?
I have him at 41 and Kalkbrenner at 44. And those are the two names I'm kind of torn between here. So
I love Reynaud. I got him at 33. And I pissed that I don't have him higher, but I'm still a Cam Jones believer.
I gotta go with the multi biggies player of the year, Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Is he a guy that you think you're too low on that is gonna just be good?
Yeah. Yep.
Me too.
Where
me
I'm too. Just, it's like, oh man, he's kind of stiff. Like, doesn't really shoot it. And then he plays for like 15 years.
Well, he's like skilled, gigantic.
Yeah.
I have him at 36, and I'm like, he's probably the perfect backup big. Like, if you're a playoff team. Like, I was talking to my old man, diehard Celtics fan, and I was like, Kalkbrenner would be just perfect for them. Yeah. Like, because they have that early second-round pick. I was like, if they got Kalkbrenner, they'll just be perfect little, like, hey, why not? Let's get a gigantic off the bench with some skills. Like, I don't know. So, that's a good pick. Your team's looking nice. Okay, so you have a sixth man to go, and then I've got to figure out my small forward, my starting small forward from the end of my board. Really smart picking right now.
Yeah. And so let's just go 51 down. So
51 now, down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to whoever.
That somehow didn't help me.
In fact, it made it worse and I hate
it. In fact, it made it worse. Ew. Sorry, guys. I'll go, is it 51 down?
Yeah.
Crap. I missed that one spot. I'm not going to lie.
Who's the 50?
I had Darian Williams. I was like, okay. Darian. I'll go Carter Knox.
Oh, I like that.
I have him at 51 and I kind of am like,
I have him at 46.
Is he portaling?
No, he declared.
He declared, right? Or is he testing?
Testing, declared with while maintaining eligibility. If he stays in, he'll probably sneak into at least my top 35. He got so much better as the year went on. There's some really fun stuff there.
It's tough for everyone that does this. Like, you'll understand, like, with the boards, but it's really tough because I have him at 51. I feel the exact same way. If I knew he was in, I'd be like, oh, let me catch up on his tape, and I might have him at 38. Like,
they're just other guys who I know for sure are staying in, and it's all right, let's finish those deep dives first, and then he'll probably wait till the last second to announce it. And
that's the time of year where you are catching up. Like, it
and hey, Carter, think of us, please. You know, stop being so selfish with your future.
If I was making a board on like, hey, like everyone's in, I probably would have them way higher. And, you know, the board should just be like my best projections. But I'm also like, it's what you just said. Like, I'm catching up on tape and you kind of move the guys down. And they're like, they're going back. And then all of a sudden they're not. Like Drake Powell, I'm literally watching his film right after we record. And when he announced today that he's in, I was like, oh, here we go. This is what we do. So, you know, it's exciting, but yeah, he seems like a little bit of a fun wild card that
really fun defensive shit with him too. He's intriguing.
Rowan wrote a piece on him, I think, in the beginning of the year called Mr. Carter. And I was like, gosh, dang it, Rowan. I wanted to steal that tagline for Carter Bryant, but I was very proud of him at the same time. You got one more pick.
Yeah. I'm going shooter. Your favorite shooter, Kobe Bryant.
It's a good one. It's a good shout out.
So, all right. So you went Cooper Flagg, Neek Clifford, Danny Wolfe, Tahad Pettiford, Elijah Martin, Carter Knox. I have Dylan Harper, Rashear Fleming, Will Riley, Walter Clayton, Ryan Kalkbrenner, and Kobe Bryant. I think I'm mopping the floor with you.
Mopping the floor with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty pumped about my team. We could kind of give you a little bit of everything. We've got nastiness. We could just feed, you know, the main event. Pettiford could go nuts. Neek could be all over the place. Then Elijah Martin just comes in and just dunks on Kalkbrenner like 14 times in a row. So
I am worried about Pettiford drawing Kalkbrenner out to the perimeter with the Vlad Golden in the tournament and just torching him.
I'm gonna play five out. You don't understand this. Kalkbrenner, come on out. Everyone's gonna bring you out. Danny Wolf's gonna bring Kalkbrenner out to the perimeter. It's gonna be glorious.
Good luck getting a rebound.
I got Cooper Flagg. I got Tahad Pettiford to get the boards.
Yeah.
No, but I like your tea because the little kicker of Will Riley Fleming, man. Oh, man. We've heard Fleming's giving people problems and workouts, but I love Rashear, man. I should have done that for I love him and I don't know. Where do you have him?
18, I think.
Son of a bitch. I have him at 18 too. What is with you? You know what it is weird for me, Metcalf? I have him there and I'm like, someone could tell me to move him lower and someone could tell me to move him up. I'd probably get both arguments.
Yeah.
Talk to a team that's like, I really, really like him. And they're like, I got him like early second. I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, I got him like kind of late first. And they're like, oh, that's the same. I was like, is it? But it was just funny because I was like, I get it. Because and then that team told me like, hey, I'm catching up on his stuff. I'm probably needing to move him up too. And I was like, yeah. Join the party. Real estate's great here. But like I could see him going mid 20s. I could also see him going late teens.
Yeah. Right. This is a blast. But before we sign off, we got a little business to take care of.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Welcome to the No Ceilings Green Room, the most exclusive club in the basketball world. Only a max of 14 guys get in. It is not our lottery rankings. It is based on vibes, potential, production. Vibes, all that good stuff. Currently in there, or again, no more than 14 get in. You can be kicked. You can be re-added. You can wait in line forever. Currently in there, we have Cooper Flagg, Trey Johnson, Derek Queen, Dylan Harper, Kasperis Yakashonis, Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, Asa Newell, Kamon Malawach, Jace Richardson, Jeremiah Fears, Con Knipple, Walter Clayton. We have one spot available. Currently in line, Danny Wolf, Colin Murray Boyles, Neek Clifford. Before we get to the line or any additions, does anyone need to get booted?
Hit me with after I got Malawach, Richardson, and then I lost you. Clayton.
Fears, Knipple, Clayton.
Danny Wolf, Neek in line. Who else was in line?
Wolf, Murray Boyles, Neek.
Anyone in does anyone need to get kicked out? I don't know.
A couple names I'm looking at as potentials are Asa Newell, Walter Clayton.
I think Walter Clayton came in there on a heater after a title run, just had like an hour of awesome times.
He was on a party bus all day. Got off there. That was last stop.
I like when you should go home, but you don't. So you keep going, and you're like, I probably could have stopped after the last place. So I think he's going home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Walter, we enjoyed your time. Peaked.
He's also just thriving. Yeah, he's thriving. Like, but he was like, yeah, I poked in there. He might be like, hey, I'm going to another spot.
Yeah,
he might
just be like, did the rounds. Off to the next place.
Off to the next place. Good okay, that's a good one. Asa, sure. Asa I still love Asa, but we can get him out of there.
So do I, for what it's worth. Yes. A player, but.
Nothing personal.
I just, yeah.
There's too many bigs.
All right.
So we got too much size in the green room.
So now we have three spots open. Currently in line, Danny Wolf, Colin Murray Boyles, Neek Clifford. Who do you want to add to the two line?
I'll add Neek.
He's already there.
Oh, you want to add to the line?
Yeah, who are you planning on putting in
line? Add to the line. You know what? Let's I'm going to nominate Tahad Pettiford for the line.
I was going to as well.
Think we need, you know, I'm sorry to all the short kings out there. We need a little guy energy. And this club is too many giants. I mean, the smallest guy we've got is
Jace.
Who's apparently 6'3".
Same.
we need Pettiford seems like he'd be a fantastic addition. So at least get him in line.
I'm going to put Phylon. In line.
I was going to put Phylon too. This is great. Okay, great.
This is more of a preemptive waiting for the the workout bus, the, oh my God, you should see who's shooting the crap out of it in workouts and testing well, and dominates at the combine. And oh, look, he's just strolling right in. So a little future looking, but man, he's fun. He's so fun.
I'm on his film right now. The YouTube video will be up today. He's a puzzling one for me because he is so damn fun. And I still like him. I got him in my first. It's just, dude, it's so shifty. Yeah, this is a good one. Anyone need to go in? Do you want to get your boy in? Danny Wolf, even though I said the height limit was coming to a max, we could probably make room for Danny Wolf. He's been in line for a while.
I think if we're going on vibes, I think Pettiford has to go in.
I think Pettiford goes in.
There we go.
Okay. Great vibes. Sort of like convinced he's going to stay in, and
so am I.
I feel like he's a very big, like, swing stock pre-draft process guy. He's either going to get in a gym and teams are going to be like, we don't care. He's awesome.
Yeah.
They're going to look at him.
I could see him being like a big time eye of the beholder type guy too, where it's like one team has him top 10 and another's like, I'll give him a two way.
Yeah. There's a lot of those guys in this class, folks.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of just like complete jokers. That's why this year is going to be so much fun. Cause there's just like I really like Colin Murray Boyles. He's going to be picked apart. Teams are going to be very picky.
Yeah.
I've been getting those questions all year. Like, what do you think? And I'm like, oh man, this is not good. We're asking these already. Cause people are just like,
it's a lot of, we'll see how he measures.
Yeah. And it's also teams are like positive, but they're just like,
they like him a lot, but what is he?
It's exactly what they say. And they're just like, man, he could defend his ass off, but like, where does he go? And I was like, yep, I think he's going to be fit.
Can he defend centers?
Yep.
Can he defend wings? And it's a lot of questions. A lot of the first round guys. A
lot of them. And that's why it's going to be a fun draft. And I also, it'll be interesting to see. I bet some teams try to move around before the draft because like we've seen that with previous years. Like you have a target, you start saying like, oh, we like we like Pettiford and we think he's going to be on the board at 25. Like let's get up there. And I don't know. It's going to be fun.
Just like this episode was. Rucker, this is a blast. just new mock draft up at noceilingsnba.com. Go check it out. Also on the site from 2 weeks ago, we had a ton of in-person content from Nike Hoop Summit. Last week, Steve and Jam and Rich did an awesome job covering the Portsmouth Invitational. A lot of really, really good intel takeaways from those guys, both on the podcast feed, on YouTube, and on the site. Good, great, awesome written content going up all the time. I'm trying to do more and more of these little walk and talks over on IG and TikTok. If that's what you're into, go check it out. But he is Tyler Rucker. You can find him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can find me at TMetcalf11. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Until next time, see ya.